Post show.
So recently, let me get comfortable.
Oh, you're okay. This is the classic post show lean
get
back.
Comfortable
and,
here.
Yeah.
I have a habit. Occasionally, it happens every few months, where I watch a specific type of reaction videos. Usually, it's
only once per turn, right?
Yeah. Usually, it's like hip hop heads or oftentimes therapists listening to my favorite 90s grunge music and just analyzing or hearing for the first. I love seeing hip hop heads that are like only listen to hip hop or rap and then
them react to like rock or something.
Yeah. And then they go listen to like Korn.
Sure.
And then like, they're like weirded out at first and they're like, oh, this shit's actually like fire. You know what I mean? I love it. Love it. And, so since the last podcast, Monday, I got into some reaction videos, and this is young. I don't know how old, but probably early 20s or whatever. English as a second language, so like non-native English speaker. And when you find out the content, you'll see the importance of it. But yeah, since Monday, after our discussion about the Lord of the Rings, I've watched the Lord of the Rings again, but through someone reacting to it.
Oh my God.
Extended edition. I watched Lord of the Rings twice.
You watched a full reaction?
It was cut up.
Oh, thank goodness. But
I think it was like half as long, maybe.
So that's like, still wild.
It's like 5 or 6 hours.
That's still wild.
Yeah. I enjoyed every minute of it. You know what I like about it, though? It's like experiencing someone experiencing something you love for the first time.
I mean, it gives you the best opportunity of that, because so many times, like,
watching someone go, no, Frodo, no,
yeah.
Don't do it, Frodo. When the movie first starts, she was like, oh, I love seeing when Frodo smiles. He has such an innocent smile. I hope he never loses that. And I'm like, oh, you don't even know. You don't even know
how
completely, utterly gone that smile will ever be from his face again.
It's like the moment where you get to share a thing that you like a fandom you like with somebody.
Getting
like,
to see something for the first time through someone else's eyes.
Like with a friend or maybe a partner, where like you get to like, hey, whatever. And the thing that you're constantly doing when you do that is you're constantly looking over your shoulder and seeing their face and their reaction. Yeah. Having the YouTube video reaction, you get to stare at their face the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
So, like, it's that epitome of, like, you're sharing something. You feel like you're sharing something with somebody, and you're sharing those moments of them initially capturing it. Because, like, I've done it with, I'm trying to remember, I think it was, like, some sections of movies or maybe animes where like it's like the really tragic parts or something, or it's like the really crazy parts, and seeing somebody react, and it's like, oh yeah, I remember that feeling.
Oh, I was like, honestly, so I've talked about if I could have a mundane superpower, it would be to be able to forget things.
Sure.
So that I could experience them for the first time again.
Oh yeah.
If I could sit down, get my popcorn, put Firefly on, and then just go, whoop, mind blank. I've never seen Firefly before, and then hit play, and then get to experience it for the first time again. Amazing. I think I was like tearing up watching her watch Lord of the Rings for the first time.
Yeah.
In a way that I don't think I've done since the first time that I watched. Don't get me wrong, I tear up every fucking time I watch Lord of the Rings, but not as much, because things aren't a surprise to me. I know the story. Like, I don't even think about it, but like, to me, the introduction of Aragorn is like, because it happens so quickly in the movies, and I've seen it happen so many times that I'm not like, there's no, who's that? You know what I mean? That moment doesn't exist. Now, the big powerful moments of like watching Frodo turn on Sam because the ring has corrupted him, that still hits me.
Mm-hmm.
But the like, there's no who is that or whatever type moments. So it's like only the big emotional things that hit me now. Watching this lady react to it, it was like all things were actually, I didn't even think of it, but that scene, the introduction of Aragorn hit me where she's like, Yeah, why is everybody looking at him? And then they're like, hey, who's that guy looking at us? And she's like, yeah, who is that guy looking at? I don't trust him, blah, blah, blah. Like, that guy looks shady because it's like the smoke in his eyes all you see is the like light glint in his eyes and the hooded, blah, blah, blah. He's clearly dirty. And she's like, oh, I don't trust him. And then it gets to the scene where he finally pulls off his hood. And then she's like, Oh,
that's funny.
Oh, is he handsome? But in like a rugged ruffian kind of way? Am I into him actually? Not shady? And like, I don't know. I felt like I got a glimpse of being able to experience it for the first time again. So I watched the extended edition Lord of the Rings for the second time in a week span.
It's funny because like, the thing I always think about, or one of the things I always think about, has just that's funny, the idea of like being able to forget to experience a thing again.
Yeah.
There's one thing that I remember vividly as liking it so much. I don't even remember what it tastes like anymore. Not necessarily, but I just remember loving every part of it. There was a fucking blueberry cobbler that I had on a cruise when I was like 19 or 20. And I remember it being so fucking good. And like, I've been chasing that dragon, quote unquote, for like my whole life of like, I don't think I could have a dessert that would be anything like that in my life again. And it's so funny. Like, would I want to forget that? Because there's no way I'm getting it ever again. Because cruises have gone downhill.
You know, even if they didn't, it would be a different chef on a different day with a different menu,
different experience,
different recipe. Yeah.
There's no way in my life I will ever be able to experience.
You've peaked. You might as well.
I might as well just end it. I might as well just go find myself a ledge and go, you know, look at a sunset.
This is for all the blueberries.
Yeah. Just for the blueberries. Yeah. No, not jump. Just look at the sunset. What's wrong with you?
Oh.
Jesus. That was crazy. Like, who was leading to
that? Yeah, Jesus. You'll see him.
Yeah, I will. He'll be in the sunset as I plummet into it.
As I plummet into the thing.
But it was just funny. Just the concept of, like, forgetting a thing. But, like, mine is to forget it so that I don't have that thing I'm constantly chasing. I'm trying to think of, like, things that, like oh, to experience it again. And, you know, a lot of people have that with, like, movies or, like, the endings of stuff or whatever. Maybe forget the last two seasons of Game of Thrones. That might be nice.
I would do that with the... I would leave myself a note, though. Like, I would forget all of Game of Thrones and then leave a note to not watch the last season. For me, it'd just be the last season. Don't get me wrong. The last two seasons had huge problems. But the last season was fucked.
Yeah.
But, like... Yeah. Westworld... Season one is one of the best pieces of media, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Season two is absolute trash. And I think they made like four or five seasons.
Yeah.
And if I could re-experience season one for the first time again and leave myself a note to just accept the ending of season one.
It
also has a complete ending. If you like, you really don't need to move on. You can accept the ending of season one as a complete ending.
Oh, I mean, I think those are the most well-written stories where like, yeah, it's over.
Yeah.
We wrote well enough in the second season to make it work from where we ended it.
Yeah.
But like end season one, it's a finished story. Maybe there's a couple loose ends.
It's
that like,
not a loose end. It felt more like a story that intentionally ends on a cliffhanger for you to sit there and go like, oh, what's going to happen or whatever. You know what I mean?
If you write it in a way where it's like it's left to like audience interpretation.
Yeah.
Where like it kind of gives you an idea of where this could have gone, but it doesn't tell you it. It doesn't tell you how this thing ends.
Well, because I believe, have you seen Westworld?
No. I've seen like an episode or two.
Oh, wow. It's so good. Watch one season of it and accept the ending. I won't spoil it for you.
Sure. I know enough about Westworld and the ideas of what the show is, but I have such a long list of things that people have
recommended. Oh, I'm not telling you to watch it tomorrow, but on the off chance that you do watch it,
I forgot who.
I'll leave it for you.
God, there was somebody recently where they were talking about some show. Oh, True Detective.
Here's the thing. I don't know anybody that, I hate people that like, don't get me wrong. if you right now off the cuff say the ending to Red Dead Redemption 2, off the cuff,
sure,
we're not talking about it, and you're like, oh, by the way, this happens, and then I go, like, I don't have the right in that situation. I could be bummed, but I can't be upset with you if I was intending to play that. You know what I mean? Because sure, it is an old game. But under the circumstances where we're talking about Red Dead and it's on my list of things that I really do want to do, I just haven't had the time, and I'm hoping to have the time someday so that I can experience it because I hear it's this great thing. And then you go, well, it ends like this. And then I go, why did you tell me that? And you go, it's a 10-year-old game. It's like,
sure, sure.
But I prompted you that I am interested in experiencing it for the first time. You know how you might want a mundane superpower to forget your first experience of something so that you can experience it for the first time? You just ruined my ability to experience it ever.
Yeah. It's funny because my actual opinion about spoilers and all and stuff like that, for the most part, I personally really don't care.
How could you not care about a twist being spoiled for you, though? Because the point of a twist is to surprise you. That means the purpose of the film is to surprise you.
Sure.
If you are not surprised by it, it has diminished so much of what that will be for you. Now, if it's something you don't care about, like, I don't know, Goodfellas, I've never seen it. You talk about it a lot. I would love to see it one day, but it's not really even on my list, so I don't care. If you want to tell me the end of Goodfellas, okay.
No, I'll tell you like I tell you every single time. As soon as things start going bad, just
you stop watching
the movie.
Yeah.
Just, you're going to have a great time. As soon as things start looking like they're
going
bad,
I'm not convinced you know how it ends.
but for me personally, I really do feel this way about media, which is I don't care if I get spoiled, because to me, if it's good enough, if the writing is good enough and it's compelling enough, like the story that gets told, I will be captured by the story being told, and I will like
the story
being told.
Yeah, but like the whole point of the movie The Sixth Sense is for you to not realize that he's dead the whole time.
Sure.
So if someone tells you he's dead the whole time, you are constantly watching it through that guise, like that perspective. It changes the whole film, and the film is not as good.
I think for the most part, there might
be... It's still a good film. Yeah, enjoy it. Enjoy it anywhere near as much.
There might be some level of like, yes, of course, that thought's going to enter my mind. But again, a lot of the times, I don't know if it's just me, a lot of the times I get hit by that like suspension of disbelief where I can get lost and I can get locked into a movie where I'm into what the story that's being told and how it's being told. And a lot of times I forget some of the things that are just going on. It's the same thing where like,
it depends.
If I've watched
it depends
the movie,
how big it is. Like it really, really depends on how big the spoiler is. Cause like, yeah, like, you know, if we're talking about The Dark Knight and I tell you what happens to Two-Face or who I tell you who becomes Two-Face, I feel like that wouldn't ruin the movie for you. But in a movie where the movie has a bittersweet ending because the main character dies, that changes things. Or more importantly, more to my point, in a movie with a twist, generally the reason why movies have twists, the twist is the purpose of the film. So if you already know the twist, the surprise, the big hoo-ha moment of a film, then your ability to enjoy it is inherently diminished. It's kind of like when they talk about, like, if you went through a film and changed the music, if you went back to the Watchmen.
Yeah, but that's a whole different concept.
Well, no, it's not. Well, at least not the way I'm presenting it. It is like, even if it's good music that you replace it with, I'm not talking about like ruining it or anything. It's still not the vision of the people who created the art. You are watching something different, and knowing the twist ending to something inherently means you are watching a different film. You're not watching the same film because like them trying to subtly hide things from you, but you already know that it's there, makes it easier for you to see these things and easier for you to catch on to those answers. The intent of feeling in a lot of these where you're like, oh no, he's not, is he? Is he? Oh my God. If he is, that's crazy. Like if the purpose of the film of a film that might try to put those feelings onto you.
Sure.
If you know he is, you don't have those feelings. So you are just watching a story unfold, and it can still be a good film. It can still be a good story, but it is different.
I just think,
I hope this isn't one of our free shows. This is 30. It is one of our free shows.
This is one of the free ones. Yes.
Hey, we should really talk about TTRPGs.
You know, maybe, but also, whatever. But the only point I'm making is like, I agree with some of the stuff you're saying. It does add a layer of complexity to some storytelling. I think there's a lot of stories that are relatively simple.
Yeah.
Where like the spoilers
and
don't
great
do,
stories that are simple.
Just because it's you know, a lot of this is a good guy, the good guys win. There's a lot of like things where like the story there is nothing that's going to break archetypes of storytelling to the point that it is going to be surprising to where like, I don't know, even in things where I think like the will he, won't he moments or the like, oh, is that going to happen? At least for me personally, it's even if like even watching Watchmen, the beginning scene where when you the first time you watch that movie, you don't know who that character is.
Sure.
That is assaulting the comedian. So yeah. Like you don't know what that is. And that's part of the like. The setup in the movie and the intrigue of the movie is not knowing who that character
who's killing
is.
Soups. Yeah.
So, but even when I watch that movie again, I almost enjoy it more. The knowing who that character is and the implications of being able to see all the details that the writers
knowing
put
the
in.
Details does make for a different
because,
experience
because
the second
the
time through.
Specifically put in moments. Where you go, the only way you know that that moment, the thing that they're lying, they're saying is important, is on the rewatch. When you watch it again, you go, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That's really fucking cool. So, like...
Yeah, for a rewatch, it's really cool.
No.
And it's only cool as a rewatch
because you've been
tricked once.
Because the one aspect of the story, which is that person isn't revealed. When it's revealed, but I think when you watch it, if you watch it with the spoiler, knowing that the thing is there, at least for me, being able to catch those things at the beginning and go, oh, that to me, that's still really cool. And I get, like you said, the intention is...
I think it's still...
I don't even know how much of the intention, but part of the storytelling is the rewatch, you get to catch it. Versus if you were to watch it the first time, you just have to have remembered if it was just a single time through. But watching it again... You get to catch those things, but if we watch it the first time, having got because again, it's in the media landscape now in social media landscape. There's been plenty of movies where I have been spoiled because I didn't want to get spoiled. I just somebody puts a headline is can't you believe Peter Parker went through this and it's like oh cool that's the end of the movie cool thank you guys and it's like but I've had that happen so many times but if the movie is good enough it's compelling enough
you still enjoy
I
it
still really
I'm not
enjoy
saying
the
that
movie.
You don't enjoy it I'm saying that you enjoy it differently and less than you might have if you got to have big ooh-ah moments. You're not getting the ooh-ah moments.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
And you're sitting there like I think if you watch Watchmen all the way through, have that like, oh, holy shit. And then you start racking your brain for what clues there might have been and all of that stuff. And then a year later or whatever, you have that information, but it's been a while. You watch the movie again, and then you're watching it and you're like, oh, shit. And you're seeing all of these things. I think it's... I don't think they're oh shit moments when something's been spoiled for you. I think when you're watching it for the first time, but knowing the twist, I think oftentimes you're just like, oh, that's neat.
Oh, maybe. Neat. Maybe. But for
because
the most
you're not the one finding things.
Yeah, for the most part, a lot of the times when I watch movies, maybe it's just I have bad comparisons. My comparisons of a well-written movie that I have had spoilers for.
Sure.
I enjoy phenomenally more.
Again, it also depends on the movies.
I'm saying, yeah, it does. I enjoy that movie to the same level, if not more than movies that I've had not any spoilers for that still have a twist ending, but are bad movies.
Oh, well, duh.
So, but I'm saying, but yeah, like bad movies, quote unquote, they're worse than that good movie.
Yes.
So it's like, yeah, even though I got no spoilers and even though it tried to be suspenseful.
Yeah, not having something spoiled obviously doesn't make a movie good inherently.
I'm saying maybe that's the reason why I have the opinion I have. But for the most part, I have seen...
It's such an illogical base for an opinion, though.
I'm trying to set up a circumstance in which I would agree with you. I'm just saying that, like, maybe that is the reason that I have the opinion I have. But so far, my experiences have been...
Sure.
Most movies of the low high quality movies, even if I've had spoilers where I've had movies that have been and haven't been spoiled, I enjoy the movie to more I don't know the experience I would have had in either direction.
Yeah, so I can't imagine you like the movie more because it was spoiled.
I mean, like, there are older movies that I just were not part of me growing up and what I watched, but I know everything about the movie because it's part of pop culture.
Yeah, but you have no idea what you would have been like if you had got to experience those experiences without knowing anything.
Yeah, of course. But I still thoroughly enjoyed the movie at the same level that I enjoyed most other movies that are on that same have it spoiled or not spoiled, like things like Pulp Fiction.
Well, absolutely. Regardless of if something has been spoiled or not, you're going to enjoy a good movie. Like, I mean, again, you could tell me start to finish everything that happens in Goodfellas right now, and if I go and watch Goodfellas, I'll probably think it's a great movie. Like, great, not just good, not just okay, not oh neat. I'll probably think it's a great movie because it is widely renowned as being a great movie. I can only assume that it is a great movie, and even knowing what happens, I'm sure that the acting is good, the storytelling is good, the pacing is good, the music's good. So, like, I'm still going to enjoy it, but I would probably enjoy it more, I think, if I didn't know anything about it and just put it on and watched it without any preface or anything. I probably would enjoy it more.
I think there are some movies, even like Goodfellas, where I like it more the second, third, or fourth time around, just because there's things I catch. There's things that I'm paying attention to more. So again, that's where my preference comes from, or not my preference, but my idea that, like, I don't care too much about spoilers, just because oftentimes, again, if the movie is good, I'll want to watch it.
You'll enjoy it anyways, and want to watch it multiple times.
I want to watch it multiple times because I'll catch things that I won't catch on the first go. And there's certain aspects of the movie, like you said, if the movie has a twist ending, where, like, and not all movies do that. Not all movies want to keep the viewer.
Not all movies hide things or put in clues or hints.
Most movies are just telling you a compelling story. That's all it's trying to do. So, like, a lot of the times it's when I'm watching the movie for the first time, I'm either not paying attention to certain aspects of the acting or the dialogue or how I'm just experiencing.
Well, you
the
get
movie.
To analyze it more. Yeah, but I this is only something that I can guess on. Just like you're talking about your guesses that you enjoy it just as much as if you. It is only something that I could guess on, but I would assume that there is a difference between watching a movie for the second time and knowing word for word everything that happens in a movie and watching it for the first time. I think there's a difference between the two, because you still got that first experience of experiencing it for the first time. So, like, I think you are therefore more compelled of the thing that caught you off guard watching it for the second time. And then you finding all the little hints and clues or whatever that led to, even if it's not like a super secretive or mystery movie.
Sure.
But like all of the things that led to it, I think you catching those things and recognizing them as things that led to the thing that caught you off guard is a different experience than never having been caught off guard and seeing those hints and clues and whatnot.
And I think also another variation of this is there are movies that are in my top five movies in terms of just enjoyment.
Sure.
Not necessarily, I don't think these are the best, most well-written movies, but like The Fifth Element and even Goodfellas, which I've talked about multiple times as being some of my favorite movies, I don't even remember the first time I watched them. That first watch experience, I don't even have a good recollection.
You were so young, I imagine.
And exactly. I was so young, and I've watched those movies multiple times growing up and still like not really.
I can't think of the first time I've watched The Lord of the Rings. I can't think of the first time that I've watched Watchmen. Yeah, I've obviously did watch these at some point, and that experience still happened. I still got to have that experience.
Sure.
And my base of continued love comes from that experience.
But I can remember moments in those movies where I remember watching it as an adult after having watched it multiple times.
Sure. And enjoyed it.
Where I've enjoyed multiple aspects 100%. Of it that I didn't even understand when I was younger.
So I think I enjoyed The Lord of the Rings more when I got older than I did when I was... different. I'm going to say different. Because I grew up in the mountains, and I watched The Lord of the Rings, and me and my younger brother would stand at the edge of the cliff with our fake little wooden toy swords, and we would pretend that we were fighting hordes and hordes of orcs. So, like, it literally took over my life as a kid, too, but from an action standpoint. And then now as an adult, it's like all of the little moments and the campfire moments.
Sure.
Just to bring this back to TTRPGs, campfire moments with the player party, the fellowship.
No, this is a post-show.
Oh, I know. I'm not actually trying
to... clawing this back.
I'm not trying to claw this back. It's already over.
But also, it's funny because that to me would be a good example of it. I haven't watched any of the Lord of the Rings movies in... probably over a decade, if not longer than that.
Sure.
And when I did watch them, I really didn't care too much about like Tolkien and the fantasy genre. And
you didn't grow up in the mountains.
It was fine.
You didn't have genuine metal swords that would cave or metal like maces that would cave someone's head in that a kid has no business holding, and then swinging that 5 feet from your brother as you're both fighting endless hordes of orcs.
Yeah, an anime kid in terms of anime just being like Dragon Ball Z and like Naruto, and then also my sci-fi was like Starship Troopers and Fifth Element, fantasy, Tolkien, orcs. I was like, whatever, like this is fine.
I think it's so much better as an adult.
Exactly. So I'm wondering, I know everything about Lord of the Rings. Like,
I don't think you do. You literally thought that you invented Ents and Treebeard last podcast.
No, I talked about I had something like it. I talked about I had a thing like Ents.
No, that came up later. You talked about a cool idea that you had, and I was like, that is directly Tolkien. And then then you were like, maybe that's a subconscious memory that I have from when I watched it.
Of Ents talking to a smaller creature.
Yeah.
I would not at all think that I came up with the idea of a sentient tree. I think that would be ridiculous. But the moment of a sentient tree talking to a smaller creature as a gentle voice to the smaller creature.
Yeah,
that specific moment in one of the movies or the books. Yeah, I would not have remembered that was a part of the...
Yeah.
A part of a movie.
I think your idea for it is definitely different and more romanticized.
It's also, I don't...
That's like a small aspect of the things that are happening between Treebeard and the Hobbits.
Yeah.
Yours sounds like there would be a part of whatever medium you'd be doing that would be dedicated to the shepherding of the smaller creature.
Yeah, mine was, I don't know if Lord of the Rings did this, but mine was more of just like an excuse to lore dump a little bit.
Yeah.
So like, that's all I would want it for.
All Lord of the Rings is an excuse to lore dump.
Yeah. But yeah, again, it's a little shared moment. But yeah, goddammit, I would never think I would come up with the idea of a sentient tree. Yeah,
you invented it.
Yeah, I invented it whole cloth. I was the only person who ever thought of trees being mystically brought to life by some sort of ancient being.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That would be Also, like, the concept that there are, like, these elves called, like, the Vanir or something like that. Like, I had this thought a while ago about, like, how this would...
You invented elves?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
I'm just saying, I think you have genuinely forgotten enough about the Lord of the Rings. But I assume you know how it ends.
Oh, I mean, I've done deep dives into the lore.
Oh, the lore and shit. Oh, yeah, you did talk about that. Okay, never mind.
So, like, I know everything.
Yeah, you know everything about it.
I know everything in terms of the plot points and the beats of Lord of the Rings. Do okay. I remember every single scene? Of course not.
Of course not.
But do I know of, like...
You invented every single scene.
I actually invented the concept of dwarves too. And like the fact, like I was bummed out when the first time I saw it as a 10-year-old of like the fact that an elf would be friends with a dwarf. Like, dude, I came up with that. Like,
yeah,
they hate each other.
Yeah.
I also came up with the fact that they hate each other.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Like, this is disgusting that Tolkien would try to do this. Like, he would try to take my ideas from me. this was a crazy one.
Absolutely unrelated to TTRPGs. This is the one that's going to be public.
I was so prepared. I'm not calling you out at all. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed where this went. I was so prepared to start talking relatively about TTRPGs, trying to figure out something in the vein of the stuff we were talking about.
Oh, I figured Lord of the Rings.
You immediately jumped on why I saved
it. But Lord of the Rings...
I know, but you were talking about reacting to Lord of the Rings and like the loss of memories connected to watching a movie.
Oh, no, that's what it became.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I'm saying initial thought process was bring up Lord of the Rings and will steer us clearly. Duh.
Yeah.
That will steer us into the realm of fantasy and TTRPGs.
You forget that the person you had on the other side of your table is somebody who is like...
Somehow obsessed with films, but also doesn't care enough about films to care about watching them.
Well, not Lord of the Rings specifically.
Or for the first time.
Well, yeah.
Or
spoilers.
Or without knowing anything about them.
That spoilers don't necessarily ruin the experience of a movie for me.
I don't think they ruin. I think they just diminish it.
Yeah. I think there are aspects of movies that you can enjoy more. Here we go. Back to this fucking talking about spoilers and... Man, this has been a great post show to the TTRPG show. Yeah. Oh. So, anyways, when you roll a 9, the thing about rolling 9s is that when your players roll 9s, you have to tell them that they can't actually roll a 9. That
your
nines
improv
are
skills are unbelievable.
They are. They're as if I have one little tiny bit of a thread of something, and I just keep pulling on that until it makes no sense.
And repeating it, but like in different ways, as if it's a different thing. And then it's not.
Yeah, I led to the idea that nines are illegal. That was it. That was the whole premise of how I got from this one to that place, was just that nines are illegal.
Thank you for listening to the post-show Take the Damage podcast. So glad that this, of all of our post-shows, is the one that's going to be free. I mean, if you listen to any of our earlier episodes, this is closer to what the earlier post-shows were.
Oh, yeah.
And longer, because it was pre-show and post-show back then. Now they're generally more TTRPG related. You know, but then unless they're not.
Yeah, this is the closest to the like the pre-show, post-show era. But more specifically the pre-shows.
Oh, especially the pre-shows, because we hadn't talked about TTRPGs
yet. We just were
yet.
Hanging out and decided to start
kissing,
recording.
Huh?
What? Fighting naked. But like it's just kind of
all right. Thank you for listening to Take the Damage podcast post-show. Hope you enjoy this. If you do enjoy this, we have plenty more post shows on our Patreon and on our website for our members.
Cool, cool. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You want to go fight naked in the backyard?
I was about to say, you got to tell him you love him.
Oh, never.
Oh, jeez. You do it. So, all right. Bye.